now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening and watching to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is a dear friend, Tracy Ash. I've had Tracy on the show before. Tracy is about to embark on a tour of the different parts of the world, and she is going to tell us about the work she's doing, a lot of information about spiritual warfare and how to deal with certain aspects of that, and also talking about an upcoming event that's going to take place in Mount Shasta, of which I will be a part. So without any further ado, Tracy Ash, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you so much.
Well, tell us about the Avatar Gathering that's going to be taking place in Mount Shasta in September, because that sounds like it's going to be a seminal event, and you've put your heart and soul in putting this event together. Please tell us about it.
So the event was created as a result of a channeling encounter that I had, and I was sacred guided to create this event and to listen to the sacred instructions of the extraterrestrial beings that are assisting planetary evolution at this time. Now, both myself and my husband avidly believe that when we stand in the gateways and when we show up at particular gateways, seven earth chakras of the planet, particular sacred gateways via ancient sites all across our incredible earth grid, these are the gateways to the sacred matrix, and this allows us to disentangle ourselves from the false matrix. So the gathering I have dedicated myself to with my husband is to call upon all of the individuals we love and we know as speakers, as influencers, as thought leaders. We seek to create an event that is hugely pioneering. I mean, so different in terms of conferences. I select the speakers in our stable because of the level that they work at, the authenticity. They have tried and tested track records. I admire the speakers, the presenters, the influencers myself. And I also recognize the parts or the part that each one of them are playing in the ascension process and the disclosure that needs to happen at this time. So we are gathering the best educators, the best thought leaders, social impact leaders, activists, those who are really pioneering the disclosure movement, the ascension movement as well. And we're gathering it together, a tribe, a community who really wants to impact change on a global level. And it is really taking our arena to the next level. So the quality of information is superb. The training is superb. The gathering is superb. The artists are superb as well. We have conscious artists, conscious musicians who all have conscious messages for these times. So we're looking at how we create a new formula in terms of conference and gatherings, and that's what we're doing. I'm super excited about it. We've just had the venue confirmed, and the venue is going to be Mount Shasta Ski Park. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
And every night we have sky watches. And as you know, James, I was invited to the United Nations on the back of my last Shasta footage. And I'm also going to be invited to work with a lady connected with the United Nations in terms of a think tank on evolution and humanity. So the work that we're seeing on the front lines by people like you and I, we're finally seeing the response on a mainstream level. And Avatars is designed to give people the opportunity to be encrypted in the new frequencies. And that creates the spiritual warfare, the spiritual warriorship, and the empowerment of our times so that we can withstand the distortions, the hijacks, the negative agendas, and we can stand in our power and indeed be the agents of change.
Yes, it's a needed antidote, a needed counterpoint to what's going on, because it's clear to me that the powers that want to be, they seem to be pulling out all the stops now. So what better thing to do than to go to these sacred places around the world? And we also know that the forces of darkness, they go to power centers around the world. They sully and they pollute and they desecrate those places. They distort and change the energy of those places to bring things they want to bring in. So it only makes sense that people of a higher vibration, people of a spiritual warrior mentality would do things to counteract that and indeed get out in front and put them on their back foot for a change.
I completely agree. For the last 20 years, I've been traveling to sites, working at sites, leading tours at sites, and really leading the way in terms of the Earth Grid and also training those agents of change, because I also see this as a collective agreement on behalf of many souls in terms of a revolution and evolution. And when we show up at particular earth chakras and sacred sites across the planet, there is a lot of restoration work that needs to take place. You're absolutely right, within the context of the distortions that can indeed take place in these sacred gateways. However, there are warriors of light, sacred warriors, sacred souls who indeed hold the sacred gateways and the sacred contracts in place. And it's important, I believe, for your listeners to recognize we can access those gateways, and we should indeed be led to those gateways and worked with and trained at those gateways by individuals who have access and the initiation rights to those sacred gateways. I had one of the most extraordinary experiences in the Great Pyramid, where I was leading a ceremony in 2018. And as I'm leading my group through the Great Pyramid, through the Queen's Chamber and then into the King's Chamber, the messages in terms of the contact which I have, which comes in the form of both information and exact channeled information, and then of course direct contact where I get time, date, and location so that we can indeed film the contact and prepare for direct contact, which of course it is. And I believe that's one of the reasons why we were invited to the United Nations. In terms of stepping into the gateways in the most authentic of ways, and both of us, both you and I, James, have a massive agenda in terms of ensuring that people make their way to the right information, the right guardians of knowledge, the right mentorship, the right training. So of course, individuals are not wasting their time in these times. So the gateways are hugely important, and it's hugely important, of course, to be aided into and through the initiations of particular gateways. So when we have the key individual in place, those sacred keys can also restore the matrix that's being compromised currently by a negative agenda. So much of my work is not only about wound weaving in terms of the individual and restoring their sacred sovereignty and their sacred mission on the planet, it's also about wound weaving our Earth grid as well. And the two have to go hand in hand. So we're entering into extraordinary times where, of course, there is such an immense need to wound weave the matrix, the sacred matrix. This is important that we indeed find our way to the individuals who can aid us in initiating those journeys and those rites of passage and actually teach us from the inside out so that we can indeed resurrect our power and our sovereignty. So these are, it's huge times. Our warriorship isn't in the weapons that we utilize. It's in how we understand our technology as the consciousness in terms of creating a very different reality here on Earth. So when we step into our sacred sovereignty and when it's restored through the gateways, through the Earth chakras, through the sacred gateways, through the energy pathways, we are indeed equipping ourselves to untangle from the false matrix and the programming that goes with it, the low frequency programming, the frequency fences, the dumbing down, of our awareness. And of course, it's a hugely relevant subject because we are aware of the distortions. We're aware of the information on, for example, negative agendas, devolution, etc., etc. But if we are incapable of resetting our own consciousness, then we can unwittingly become pawns in the false matrix agenda. So much of my work is hugely quantum in its focus. So often we get experts who are experts in, for example, one particular arena. The arena or the umbrella of my work works on so many different dimensions so that I can ensure that individuals make it. I mean, we have to pull out all of the stops currently. You know this, I know this. I'm dedicated to this for my children, for my friends, for my communities, for the sacred, for the light of the planet, for evolution itself. We have something also extraordinary within the context of the gateways. And what I love about it is it's all written into the prophecies. It's written into the time loops as well. So we're in this extraordinary 26,000 year cycle. And I mean, the elite power agenda can do very, very little about the ascension of the planet if you are informed, if you are trained, and if you dedicate yourself to sacred and sovereignty. Now, what I find interesting is we got a huge assault coming in, which is connected, of course, with social media, with technology, etc., etc. So we must be hugely aware of distractions, manipulations. And again, it brings me back to our own spiritual warfare is found in our practices, is found in our dedication to sacred existence. So checking into our own sacred reality and being reminded of it. And again, I'll just reference the pyramids on this. If we take Purnita, which is the ancient Egyptian for pyramid, it's translated as house of God. Oh. So when we step inside a pyramid, particularly the great pyramids of Giza, we are stepping into the reality zone that gives us the direct experience with Creator. And that is what radically and revolutionizes our consciousness. And we can never go back to the false matrix. So we've got to have these experiences that are indeed radical and revolutionary tipping points in terms of our spiritual evolution. And that's why the gateways are important. That's why the earth grid is important. That's why the sacred is important. And that's why real contact is really important. I mean, preparing ourselves for direct contacts. So it takes it to the next level. And again, this has come in through my channelings and through my prophecy. When we have direct contact, it will show us, each individual, exactly who we are. There can be no persuading otherwise. So it will expose the fakery. It will expose exactly who you are. So it is hugely critical as we ramp up our preparations for contact that we prepare ourselves so that we can be the most sacred. Because in terms of contact, we can be guided into an extraordinary planetary existence and be guided through the false matrix and the negative agendas. We are preparing for contact, as you know. I mean, it's time, correct?
Yes. And in a nutshell, can you describe to our listeners, I have an idea of what goes on at these power centers and these power points and these gateways. Is it a process of energy streaming in from higher dimensions and higher spiritual planes, or is that going on and other things as well?
That's a really interesting question. As you know, I visited Egypt maybe 70 times, and I work all of my tours with completely trusting the direction within the context of which gateway is active, which gateway is open. This changes on a regular basis. This is also aligned with astrological cycles, as you also know as well. If, for example, we visit the Great Pyramids of Giza, it is so seldom allowed to actually meditate in these gateways. There are rules, regulations, and laws in place to prevent the activation of these gateways. Now, over the years, we have built up incredible contacts. So our ground team is immense in terms of our access. So because of my integrity in terms of my research at sites, the sites go live, and they go live because of the work that we do on ourselves, not because we expect something from the sites when we show up without doing any work on ourselves. So again, as you know, I have a mystery score, which is also set at particular gateways across the planet. So we're initiating real mystery school training with transmissions and teachings from sites. My husband is also working very closely alongside me. So there is a quality of work in terms of the channelings. So he is holding my energy down technically to create the most profound layer of protection in terms of the clarity of the information and the channelings. So we are technically preparing for contact, direct contact, and opening the gateways in the best possible way to aid the ascension process. It's hugely important. So our spiritual warfare is not just in terms of our own pathways and our own wound, but it's taking it to the next level, because it also at the same time addresses the balancing that needs to take place across our planet, where the manipulation, as you so correctly identify it, where the manipulation is in place to fix the false matrix and to fix evolution in place. Now, because I've also done so much work in Japan, I mean, I visit Japan maybe 5 times a year. As you know, Shinto is so profoundly connected with gateways and energy pathways. And I believe that is also part of the stabilizing technology that super assists Japan in terms of its seismic activity, etc. So it maintains the stability of Japan. So I've learned much within the context of working in Japan. I've learned much within the context of world events and utilizing power sites, energy gateways to respond to events that creates human pain and suffering. Now, this is hugely important. So we're stepping into a profound, sacred quantum technology that can assist humanity rather than it being used to super fix the false matrix in place. So we have to have individuals who are trained in unleashing these gateways. It's such an important part of our spiritual warfare, and it's such an important part of calling in the assistance in terms of our universal aids and allies, indeed the sovereign and sacred extraterrestrial guides of humanity. And you know this as a father, you know this, that the souls of our children are absolutely pure, and it's the false matrix that distorts the sovereignty and the value of each human being, and it creates the wound. And no matter who we are, as we evolve in the third dimension, as we evolve in the matrix, we are susceptible to, of course, programming. And our spiritual warfare, of course, is to ensure that once we have dug deep in terms of our programming, then if, for example, we align ourselves with the sacred earth grid. It maintains and it sustains our sovereignty and our freedom. And then with that in mind, of course, the next generations are program free. And that's huge in terms of evolution. And as a mother, I wish to leave that as a legacy for my children and their children too. So these are hugely important times. I mean, wow, I have so much to say on the subject because our survival, it's our survival.
It's survival, yeah.
Yeah.
It also seems to me, and thank you for sharing that, Tracy, that the powers that be, the archons, they strive to keep us in a permanently traumatized state. They strive to keep us fragmented, dissociated, squabbling in a strife-ridden world, a pestilence-ridden world. And what we're trying to do in our own way, collectively, those of us that are in this fight, is bring balance and then overcome what they've done. And in the process, heal this planet too. I've spoken to a friend of mine, Soretta, that I'm going to have on the show also. And we talked about how, you know, so many people of, let's say, a new age sentiment, they want to, like, move on and, like, for lack of a better term, ascend, but they don't really want to do anything for the planet either. Whereas I see that we have the symbiotic relationship. I feel a responsibility to this planet, which has nurtured me and healed me and helped me through so many of these incarnations, that I just don't want to wash my hands of the place and then move on. I don't want to be in the rinse cycle and come back involuntarily kicking and screaming at in certain incarnations. But at the same time, I want to come back on my own terms. I think we all do. But at the same time, I don't want to just turn my back on Mother Earth after she's done all this for me. And so what I love about this Avatar gathering is it's a celebration of our connection to the Earth. It's there in a sacred place, Mount Shasta, just full of mystery, full of wonder. And what I'm seeing is the value of your work in particular is I've seen the inverse of that, Tracy, where people I feel that are well-intentioned but misguided, they're being sent around the world to do all this grid work, but they're getting this information, they're getting their guidance from ascended masters, from Walt Disney, and from these different types of entities and whatnot. And these are well-financed people. They're going all over the world like you are, and they're doing these things in large groups. And, you know, they're well-intentioned. Their heart's in the right place, but it's just that, you know, the message, the term you use, distorted, is absolutely correct. The message is distorted, and they go off on what is essentially a fool's errand. I feel what they're doing is they're going to these places and making it easier for this darkness and these dark archons to come in. And that's a big part of this 5G rollout as well, to make it much more easier for these entities to come in, cohabit, jump into people, take them over, et cetera, et cetera. So by working with these sacred power centers and then infusing the world with a higher frequency that just obliterates all this nastiness and negativity, that's critically important work, Tracy. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you for acknowledging it. I think that's one of our greatest challenges too. Last year we finished up one of my books on, it's called Reality Revolution. It's a guide to ascension, and it walks people through 3D, 4D, and 5D. Now, 4D is hugely problematic in our arena, in our spiritual arena. It allows the wound to exist, which means that your reality is open and you are susceptible to all sorts of distortions, disinformation, etc., etc. But at the same time, even if you seek and you dream of service to humanity, you are little impacting any formidable change. So much of my work has been dedicated for the last 20 years to exceptional levels of training in metaphysics. I was a senior teacher and sensitive at the College of Psychic Studies. I'm an honorary member of PSI Japan, which Dr. Omoto was an honorary member of also. As you know, I've been invited to the United Nations in terms of the work that I'm doing. I mean, we need to be trained by individuals who can prove that reality can behave in a different way. Now, that's always been something I've dedicated myself to. I'm open to research as well. And what I encourage people to do is this. Of course, we can read. Of course, we can access information on the internet. But if there is no formidable change within yourself, you, for example, are not working with an ascended master. Now, we need to really look at whether the information that people are opening themselves to is inspirational, or whether it is indeed evolutionary, and whether it is indeed revolutionary. And when we have sacred experiences or genuine evolutionary breakthroughs, spiritual breakthroughs, we change forever, and we activate a resource and intelligence that sees clearly truth and sees clearly the disinformation, the distortions, the projections. So we must be clear. You know, this year, last year has been incredible in terms of flushing out false prophets in our arena.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's like these are the times. And of course, these false prophets have been put into place. Our arena is equally contaminated and corrupted as any arena in society. So we must not be blind in terms of where we look in terms of our teachers. And so much of my work has been about dedicating myself to what exceptional work is. And if I can't do the metaphysics, if I can't create the healing for an individual, if I can't do a reading without asking questions. You know, I trained myself in that way in my 20s. I was trained at the College of Psychic Studies, which at the time was the most formidable organization in the world. It led within the context of metaphysics. And I mean real metaphysics, because I was trained by the best mediums and trans channels of last century, and I was mentored by the then principal president of the College of Psychic Studies. I am still friends with Susanna McKinnery to this day. The standards in terms of our arena have dropped off, and we need to see that, yes, of course, it's powerful when spirituality goes mainstream. However, it is not powerful if people simply regurgitate information and have no working knowledge of the mystery schools, of sacred sites, of the earth grid, indeed of contact protocol, for example, in metaphysics, protocol within the context of contact. to work at the level that I work at. And I mean, some of my students have trained with me for 20 years. To come anywhere close to my work, you have to put a lot of man or woman hours into your training. And the work is the work of lifetimes. So rightly, as you said, the individuals who care about this planet are the individuals who indeed have been contracted lifetime after lifetime to care about the planet. And there are different lineages that are currently being awakened and activated and born into our societies. And those individuals have always been formidable keys of change at every historical moment of evolution on our planet. And so the times that we live in, yes, there are distortions. I mean, I train people and disclose in terms of what the difference between being a genuine healer and one who is led by the ego, one who is led by attachments for self-gain, etc., etc. I have none of those agendas. I am much more interested in my service to individuals who seek my help, and often individuals who request healing. They have so many encounters with false prophets and false healers that so many individuals are so disappointed with the arena, because of course the real healers are so seldom within the context of so many false healers and false prophets. It is not a vocational training. So the time has come, and I believe this is really interesting. The younger generations are super ready and are super discerning within the context of 4D. And we do specialize in terms of the gatherings that we have. I mean, the gatherings we have and we generate, we're working with the under 35s, we're working with agents of change, we're working with the change makers in our world, the individuals who are leaders in their fields. So it's the genius, and they can be few, but their impact can be profound. So I've always found myself working with individuals who can have positive influence in the arenas, in the communities that they exist in. And those are my contracts. I don't look for it. Those contracts are set up. So when we look to the nature of our sacred mission, and when we begin to evaluate our own programming and the distortions and the attachments, the false attachments that we place upon ourselves and place upon others and upon society, then we really begin to free ourselves. So I believe, because I speak at so many conferences across the world, I sit on so many panels. One thing I do is I read frequency, and I read the consciousness that is at the heart and soul of the individual that is speaking and communicating. And when we're trained in that way, we can detect distortions, we can detect plants, we can detect false information. And that's hugely important because, of course, our arena is drawing so many individuals who are asking questions. And individuals are genuinely seeking help. They're genuinely asking for help within the context of the wound, within the context of surviving. Just quality of existence, because of course the elite power structures in place ramping up our ability in terms of giving ourselves quality of existence. So this is something that's interesting. When we relate consciousness and frequency and quantum gateways, the earth grid, we can also impact time. And that's hugely relevant in terms of giving ourselves back quality of existence. My work has always been in the front lines within the context of looking at programming, looking at distortions, looking at sovereignty, looking at power, looking at sacred power, and looking at ways of creating the escape from the false matrix. So as a child, I came in knowing what my sacred contract is and was, and I came in with metaphysics and contact, direct contact, live. I didn't have to really train. So I was ahead of my time as a child also. However, because I know the difference within the context of reality and whether someone is faking metaphysics, faking the quantum and being a false prophet or an individual who was planted in terms of false information. When I sit in conferences and when indeed I meet those who are faking it, I simply ramp up my energy and it exposes those who are faking it. And I think that's an important part of a new phase of teachings too. It's not just about information, it's about recognizing that the teacher is also capable of demonstrating teachings just in the way that that teacher exists. And that's something I believe is hugely important in terms of the relevance of spiritual work in our lives and the presence of it in our relationships and in our communities and how we think and feel and behave, and we have a responsibility to our reality in the world. So how we conduct ourselves, how we constantly assimilate the quality of our presence on the planet. And it's a footprint, our spiritual footprint. It determines whether indeed we meet the contract, the sacred contracts that we have been assigned. Now, those sacred contracts are the motivations for hope, and equally at the same time, they're the glimpses that show you you can escape the false matrix. Now, we often get entangled. So our spiritual warfare is required so that we can keep ourselves free and keep ourselves free of inner conflict, which then takes us into existing on a higher vibration, a higher frequency, which allows us to rise above the distortions. And I mean, that's particularly important because our spiritual warfare gives us the freedom to engage and disengage when we need to.
Yes.
Because again, there's all these kind of false flags and there's all of these distortions and there's all of these super planted distortions, hijacks, timeline chases, however you frame it. And we must be hugely aware in terms of our spiritual developments that we have to be savvy and we have to be responsible and we have to be intelligent in terms of the way to our spiritual evolution. Yeah? Agree?
Yes. Absolutely.
It's, you know, our spiritual warfare technology awareness. You know, and it goes back to our New Age arena. I mean, to be trained in channeling training, in psychic awareness, in PSI abilities, remote viewing, you name it. All of those trainings require immense application of the individual to be able to come anywhere close to an extraordinary level. And it's the metaphysics that allow us to step outside of the frequency fence of the false matrix. And I think this is where we get entangled in the mainstream false spirituality, because of course, if we haven't been trained, we're still locked tight into those frequency fences. So we're basically hopeful about metaphysics and we are not embodying metaphysics. And in terms of your listeners who are interested in contact, et cetera, I adore contact. I see it as one of our greatest experiences and technologies for profound acceleration of our consciousness. However, we must prepare ourselves. And again, this is bound in our frequency, it's bound in our consciousness, it's bound in stepping through these frequency fences and the distortions in terms of information. And knowing that you're on initiation within is the key to, for example, direct contact, immense metaphysics, and the spiritual warfare technologies that are going to aid you in untangling yourself from the false matrix. It's a huge subject. You know this. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
a key point because what I've observed is you have so many patently unhealed people in our field, and especially in the New Age movement, and especially the knee-jerk rejection of anything to them that sounds even vaguely negative, right? It's almost as if you can draw a parallel, like in America and in some of the universities in the UK, where they've imbued this victim identity consciousness in these students, where they've literally painted on the grounds of these college campuses like outlines where they can stand and be in safe zones, okay? And it's similar with certain New Agers where you bring up real-world issues, and then you also, in the same breath, the next breath, bring up real-world solutions, but they didn't hear the solutions part because the first part was vaguely negative, so they're going, wait a minute, I'm in my energetic safe zone, you're bringing up negative issues with me, I'm offended, right? You're spreading your bad energy. And so what's happening is that element has really come to the fore in the recent past in a New Age movement. And what we need to do, and you're already doing it, and what I tell people also is we need to work at a higher grand strategic level. It's my friend David Dunger says that when people get caught up working down in the weeds at a tactical ground level where they're, you know, running into all these different institutions of the system, which is here to oppress and imprison us spiritually, if nothing else, when they're dealing it with it on a case-by-case, point-by-point basis, that's just an immense, immovable block. One has to operate at a higher level, dealing with energies, dealing with intentions, because we have that ability within us. A lot of times we just have to find a way to unlock and safely move the blockages and all the trauma. And so when we can work past through the trauma, and that's a work in progress with me, as it is with a lot of other people. It's nothing that you can just snap your fingers and figure out overnight. It's a process. And I wouldn't presume to be this all-knowing guru like a lot of these. And I like the term you use, you know, false prophets, because there's a double meaning there too. You know, the prophets as in money, prophets as in greed, because that's another thing that I see is the intentions behind some of the people that put these conferences together, the intentions behind some of these people that put these gatherings together. It's profit driven. It's not anything to do with healing, not anything to do with getting important information out. It's a big time distortion, and we have to rise above that and operate at a higher strategic, higher spiritual level, because we've been given the, some would consider onerous, but I think it is more honorific in the sense that it was a difficult job to be here in embodiment. You know that, Tracy. It's we come here knowing, taking on the responsibility of doing this critical work in physical embodiment, immersed in a pea soup of negative energies and distortions, and working through trauma that wrought through lifetimes that we have to gradually slew off of ourselves. It's a big task, and not many beings, even of a higher spiritual dimensional state, were suited for that task, right? I'm not big noting myself. I'm not big noting us. I'm not making us out to be something that we're not. I'm saying that we have a huge cheering section for us in these higher spiritual realms, because they know we come here with just a fraction of our celestial powers. They know that we have to work through the dogmas of religions and all these different incarnations and the dogma of modern science, the dogma of the New Age movement. Because what we are in, as you pointed out so eloquently, is we're in a spiritual warfare arena. And if the New Agers can't grasp that, then they are a part of the problem, right? By always, like, hypnotically, dogmatically insisting on seeing everything in a positive light, despite the fact that we live in this matrix-ridden system, right? That doesn't mean that we can't be positive. It doesn't mean we can't be uplifted and filled with joy, which we strive to be. But we also have to be realist and recognize the reality of the environment we're in. So when people can get away from that and detach, and you made a very good point about engaging and then disengaging too. And that's what I see happening, is that the people are beginning to cluster and beginning to gravitate towards the people that they have these soul contracts with. This is all being orchestrated at a very high level, that we've all come to an agreement eons ago to interact and work with it. And I wouldn't presume, you know, for you to, you know, reveal, you know, the inner workings of what you do and the key people that you interact with. And I won't either. I just suffice to say that, you know, what people see of us in this public, semi-public arena is only a fraction of what we really do, because we really do strive to work at this higher level, because we'll be either down in the weeds, like butting our heads up against a brick wall. Okay, here's another manifestation of this monolithic empire and thud. Here's another manifestation of it and head lowered, thud. And it just won't work that way. We've got to work at a much higher level. And that will only work if you work with key people that are of a like vibration and have the potential to unlock and unblock all that limitless power that they have within them from a heart-centered perspective. Because that's the key thing about the initiations too, Tracy, because what people don't understand, a lot of these quick fix kind of fast food drive-through mentality New Agers, is to whom much is given, much is required. Were someone to be suddenly dumped on their lap all these metaphysical powers and abilities, but they don't have the heart-centeredness, they don't have the spiritual grounding, they don't have the self-restraint and the impulse control, these people can become menaces to society. Just look at all these adepts and all these warlocks that are in positions of power and influence in front of the TV camera and behind it, right? They have no impulse control. They have nothing. You know, if it feels good, do it. And they have the means to do it, right? And so what you're teaching these people that go through your courses and through your workshops is self-control, it's self-discipline, it's accountability. It's not playing the victim and looking, at everything as being like a handicap, everything being something to thwart us. Instead of seeing everything in a negative light, you know, they should practice what they're preaching, right? And you've been part of this networking conference gathering arena for a long time. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I absolutely do. Because I'm right in the front line, everything I experience, everything I witness, every false prophet I witness, I actually register it and acknowledge it and look at how I can train people to detect when that is happening. And it is about an education in terms of awareness, as you know. It's also about the resurrection of our sacred power, the divine feminine as mm-hmm. well. Now, the first house of metaphysics is, of course, the void. So when we are doing metaphysics, it's not happening. So we got to step into the profound alignment. The wound must be healed and tackled. Birthed, must be carefully listened to by a mentor or healer who can detect and trace the wound within the context of this lifetime and within the context of your timelines. Multiple
yes.
incarnations. And the level of the work that I do is about tracing the original wound. And that also links into the prophecies of ancient Egypt and the Dendera Zodiac and the coming of these times, which tackles the wound both individually and collectively, and how we are now at this tipping point, whether we can indeed evolve, progress, and indeed ascend, or whether we return with the wounds to tackle in other lifetimes. So the urgency is profound, because as you know, it's not about putting ourselves on a pedestal within the context of what we know. No, it's about disclosure, and it's about authenticity, it's about transparency, it's about me sharing the working technologies that can assist individuals to break free. The individuals that I train are individuals who are genuinely traumatized and genuinely authentic, and they have met challenges within the context of their journey on Earth. And the technologies that I work with, they stand up to the challenges, to the darkness, and it takes people through. I mean, my work was so immensely tested. I haven't spoken about this on an interview at all. My daughter was massively, savagely attacked last year, and my work saw her through in terms of the possibility of her taking her own life. That is the extent of the false matrix and the wound that is being projected at this time, and the placements of contracts that are deliberately put into place within the context of the timelines. We saw her through. She is fine. But we must recognize that it's only in the real work that we can hold the sacred space for other human beings. And it's not everyone's right to heal someone, to help someone, to aid someone. We must first help ourselves.
Yes.
So I find myself always when, for example, I'm doing sessions for people in terms of soul purpose, many individuals have been silenced because of their trauma. And those are the individuals I can listen to and really listen hard in terms of exactly what needs to be transformed. So what needs to be acknowledged, what needs to be spoken within the context of any outstanding contracts of healing and awakening, which consistently impacts your timeline and your ability to succeed within the context of your sacred destiny. I mean, I've spent so much time not only researching this, but working at the level that I do. And I mean, I'm 30,000 plus sessions. I mean, if someone wants to research me, research me. I mean, I have no doubt about what I'm capable of doing, and I never ask a question. So our work during these times, I mean, it's got to stand up. If it's not standing up, it's not going to withstand the manipulations of the false matrix. And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, James. The work that we do is about being real.
Yes, there's a lot of people that are, it's almost a form of self-diagnosis where, and I'm not a believer in this allopathic medical system because it's all pharma-controlled, but I'm talking about in terms of, okay, let's get really traditional here. We're in a village, there's qualified healers and you know, people that are practiced herbalists and whatnot that can really heal people. But then I come along and I'm ill, but I just decide, well, I think this is what's going on with me, because whether it's my higher self telling me this or it's my not so psychic friends that are telling me this, I've got this element, this is going on with me. It's a form of self-diagnosis. It's a form of denial also, is what it is. And it's all outward projection too. So again, it always comes back to accountability. Working with the first circle, working with ourselves. Yes. There's too many people that are patently unhealed, Tracy, that are presuming to want to heal other people. And I get that a lot. It's like, oh, James, I want to, you know, do this to you and do this kind of healing and
send you this kind of energy. And yeah, that's sometimes how I feel. Or, you know, I want to kind of like do all this stuff to you remotely. It's like, you know, I'm not so sure about that. I'm working on myself, and I'm working with people that I know and I trust, and we've got this energetic interchange going, and it's really balanced, and it's working well, right? And so, you know, you start throwing in all these variables, and again, it goes back to having the discipline behind it, Tracy. Again, yes. To whom much is given, much is required. If someone has a gift or has some degree of metaphysical potential, it has to be utilized in a judicious fashion. It has to be practiced. There's an art to it. There's a craft to it, right? And then when you apply this discipline and use it at a higher strategic level, then we can start to make meaningful change in our world. And instead of constantly projecting outwards all our unhealed wounds, all of our trauma, et cetera, well, we've had a fascinating first segment here with our special guest, Tracy Ash. And Tracy, please give us the website for the your website, as well as the website for the Avatar Gathering for Mount Shasta.
So avatarsoftheearthgathering.com and then tracyash.com. So we're really going to have some of the most progressive and influential activists, social impact individuals, real agents of change. So, yeah, where that education is a requirement, but also training. And we're gathering a group of individuals together who are working with their exceptional presence in the world that they exist in. And that's how we bring a tribe of exceptional people together. And that's how we change our arena. And that's how we change the standards in our arena as well. We knew we had to do it ourselves in order to create the right event. And my husband already had his festival, which, again, his was also sacred. Directed, and he followed it, and he invested $500,000 of his own money into that service for our community. I mean, we don't do it for profit. We do it because we know there is need.
And it's a great place for it too, because it's one of the chakra points of the earth, and that kind of high energy and well-intentioned effort will be infused into the Earth's grid in a very real way. So thank you for doing that. And to our dear listeners out there that are listening and watching, if you like what we do, if you believe what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.